My title this morning is Keep Pressing On. Now, this title, I sort of put on my slides on Wednesday morning as I was preparing, and stuff happened. I heard that our third application for a venue is also now not successful, and you can imagine I was feeling like, you know, I need to catch a snake and do something to him, you know. I was not happy, and I'm just going, Lord, what are you doing? And I was sitting here, and when the call came, and I flicked over to just to start, you know, work further on my sermon, and this was the title that slapped me in the face, and I went like, okay, God, so what are you saying? On top of that, I had to go see the doctor because apparently I've got ear infection and foch op die ore, and I'm kind of dizzy, and yeah, so if I lean a bit further, it's because the bubbles aren't working with me here this morning. But I believe that this is something that we need to do at this time. Keep on pressing on. Now, there's a saying that says, keep on keeping on. And I sort of had that in mind at first, but when I checked what it sort of means when you say that, I thought that's not what I feel the Spirit is saying to us. Keep on pressing on is a bit different, right? And the meaning of keep on pressing on is the following. To continue moving forward in a forceful or steady way. To keep on moving forward in a force. Now, what happens when you're forceful? Are you nice? I'm forceful. No, you have a frown probably, right? And you look very determined. Yeah. What happens if a dog looks forceful at you? Jy sien tanne. I can't see your teeth. But there's a deliberateness, right? And a steadiness. There's a steadiness of moving forward. That's what is in the second meaning of is to continue to do something, especially in a determined way. Now listen, if you are determined to make your business succeed, now you will pretty much do anything to see that happen, right? You will keep pressing on. You know, when the hurdles come, when the failures come, you sort of take it and you move on. You know, when you see something that your child is doing wrong and you know that is wrong, you deliberately and sometimes even forcefully discipline it out of them. Because it shouldn't be there and you must keep pressing on. You know, to have godly children takes a lot of work and effort, etc., etc. So at this time, I believe, bottom line, what the Spirit of God is saying to us, you need to move forward in a forceful and deliberate way. There is no ways that we can stop this morning. We cannot stop who we are as children of God and just become lackadaisy. And I'm sorry to say, but I think if I look at what's going on in the Christian world, that is probably mostly what's happening at the moment. Churches are complaining that the saints are not coming. They are not involved. They are slacking off, etc., etc. And we're going, what is going wrong? Has the bed and the comfort zone become so amazing? And I'm going, okay, Lord, what do you want to do at this time? What is God sovereignly busy doing in our lives? Now, we need to press on. We cannot afford to go slack right now. You know, there's a lot of uncertainties, a lot of questions, a lot of financial stuff that's going on in your lives, and the reality of that is real. I mean, it's like there. You know, some people are losing their jobs. You know, you don't know what's coming. But does that mean we back off? No. So, as I was preparing, I was looking at Galatians, and we're going to quickly fly through Galatians this morning. Because I believe, sort of, as Paul was speaking to these people, he's sort of addressing some of the same things that we find in our own lives this morning. So you can go, and you're going to go read through the whole of Galatians. It's a lacquer book. It's nice. And Paul starts off Galatians like this, and he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. What a way to start a letter. What would you think if I write a letter to you and say, Kobus, a pastor, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ. It's like, so what are you trying to say? You know, and I believe as Paul was writing this, the Galatians that he's writing to is a whole group of churches. It's not just one church. It's a whole bunch of them. This is where the Gauls used to live. If you ever watched Asterix and Obelix, right? This was the Gauls, okay? And he was addressing them because there's stuff that is happening in Galatia that he needs to speak to. So he's addressing this. And he's starting his letter off here, and he's saying, this is who I am. This is my call. And he makes it very clear that no man has called him. It's not from men, and it's not through men. Nobody has empowered him to do this but Jesus Christ. And so he kicks off this letter, and he's saying, my root, my foundation, my who I am is not in anything that anybody has said to me, but in Christ. Now, we know he had that encounter on the road to Damascus with Jesus, which I'm sure is the foundation for the statement. Why? Because he met Christ. And Jesus ordained him to preach the word. So he knew, and I'm sure there's people that might have questioned his call, and he's going, but this is who I am. And let me just tell you, it's not through man. You see, because in that day and age, you know, you had people that will do public speaking for money. And the better the orator was, the better he was paid. And he's essentially saying, I'm not one of those guys that are just getting paid to say nice words. I'm ordained by Christ to do this. And he's in saying that, even he's declaring the gospel. Okay? And he goes in verse 2 and he says, all the brothers with me, so he's not alone, to the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he declares the gospel right there. He says, listen, we have been saved by the grace of God. He speaks that grace over them. So he's not calling upon any other power. He's saying, through what Christ has done, peace to you. Okay? And then he says, listen, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil. And listen, your sins have been forgiven, and you have been delivered from this present evil. You are free from what is happening here, and that is what he's declaring over them. He's sort of establishing even their own identity of what the basis of their faith is about. You know, maybe if I look at what's happening in the world at the moment, I think Christians have become confused on the basis of their salvation. They're sort of grabbing at straws and trying this speaker and that speaker and this oak and that. It's in Christ Jesus and no one else. You are not saved through the sermons that you listen on YouTube and all these places, and there's some great stuff out there, but it's through Jesus Christ. And it's like he's saying, listen, I know you're hearing a lot of stuff, and we'll get into that just now, but listen, I need you to establish the fact that you are saved by grace, by Jesus Christ, paying for your sins in this day and age. It's like almost he's saying, catch a bit of a wake up, because this is what's happening here. And then he continues. After he does this, and he goes in verse 6, and he says this. I love how he puts it. I marvel that you so soon are being moved away from him who called you into the grace of Christ. Now that called there means invited to participate in the blessing of the kingdom. So they were called to do what? To be part of the blessing of the kingdom of God at that time. Okay, let's read further. Let me read it again. I marvel that you so soon are being moved away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. So what is this now that he's talking about? Now there's another gospel which they are being moved away to, which they are getting sort of dragged to, which is not another, but some are troubling you and are desiring to prevent the gospel of Christ. And in verse 8 he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you beside what we preached to you, let him be accursed. So what's happening here is, he's speaking about the Judaizers here, which is coming in and sort of trying to get them who now have received liberty, who were saved by grace through the gospel that Paul preached and were baptized and so on, to now go back to what the law instructed them to do. Says, you know, they're saying, no, but you have to be circumcised and all these things. And he's saying, listen, but you were called to participate in the blessing of the kingdom, not this other gospel. Not the former gospel, not that which used to be, but now Christ is no longer. You're drawing back to that. And it's like, I feel like, you know, he's saying to us today that there's other stuff, there's other news, there's other things that are coming in, creeping into the gospel of Christ that is actually distracting us from the true grace and the kingdom of what God is busy doing in our lives. And we need to discern like that to see, but what is happening here now? How's the enemy? You know, Scripture says he comes in like an agent of the light, you know, like a... And we need to just discern what is happening here. In verse 10 he says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? And then he says this, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Do you see the line in the sand he's drawing here? Do you see that he's saying, if I'm trying to please man, then I cannot be a bondservant of Christ. Now, what's a bondservant? It was, you know, in their day and age, obviously, there was slavery. People were put into bondage and slavery, and then you had to serve. And you had no rights, nothing. What they said you should do, should do. And then you had the bondservants who were set free, or had who could go free, but chose to stay in slavery. The amazing thing is those people were not paid, they were not forced. You know, they did stuff willingly, whereas opposed to your normal slaves, they were forced. If, you know, and they did stuff grudgingly and reluctantly, and did, you know, it's only because they were slaves that they did the stuff that they do. But now Paul is saying, I'm a bondservant. I'm doing this because I love him. You know, and what has Christianity become to us? Has it become more like a slave? You know, I'm trying to keep the rules, I'm doing the stuff, or am I actually in love with Jesus and I'm just doing this because I'm so in love with him? Have I gone back to the formal gospel, to religion, to keeping a bunch of rules, or am I in love with Jesus Christ and his kingdom and what he wants to do in this world? And that's where the shift is, I think, is that there's more about religion. Church has now become a whole bunch of rules and stuff I shouldn't do. You know, it's a whole bunch of effort, and I think a whole lot of people found out, being at home, that church is hard work. Being here every week, going to small group, you know, doing Bible school, attending encounters, there's a lot, and this is suddenly hard work, and you know, it's a lot better just to do nothing. And we see that happening. Where now I have options. Like you have an option if you don't have an opinion, because you're supposed to be dead. Jesus is supposed to be Lord of your life. And he's busy with his kingdom. He's calling us to be part of his kingdom. And Paul is looking at these guys and saying, what are you doing? What does verse 6 in mine says? No, mine doesn't say it. But the one says, who bewitched you? to go back to your former life. Go back to rules after you've received grace. Who bewitched you? Who got into your head and said, whatever they said to get you to do what you're doing right now? He says, no, I'm calling you. You know, Cheslin spoke about the call of God on your life. You are called, I am called to be part of the blessing of the kingdom on this world right now, in this day, in this age. But you see, Satan will try everything to get us away from the gospel, to get us away from the cross. He will like to do anything to lose focus that Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sins, and paid for our lives with his blood. If he can shift our focus just a little bit, if he can get us busy with the other gospel, what happens? We become powerless. We almost become useless because we're busy with other stuff. We are not busy with the kingdom stuff. If he can get us to shift our attention from the grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, if we can get us to move away from that grace we received, that love we received, we lose the power and the anointing that we walk in. If he can shift our focus from the redeeming work of Christ onto a whole bunch of rules and do's and don'ts, then we are missing it. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we are believing at this time. The voice of the enemy in this world is very loud at the moment. Have you noticed? Have you seen the onslaught on Christianity? The recent law passed now in the week that the state marriage officers now have to have, they cannot say no to doing same-sex marriages anymore, regardless of your religion. What? Can we just wake up, saints? The devil is serious about this war. He's going on. And the church, in general, is asleep, busy with all sorts of stupid stuff. Online stuff. There's a world out there that is dying without Jesus. There's a world out there that is without hope. And we are busy with the other gospel. And this is what Paul is saying here. Wat maak julle? Who bewitched you? I marvel at what is going on in your lives. Now, if we look at chapter 2, which I'm not going to read through, there's just... Go my bro, man. Hoe kom print hulle die woordjie so klein? Huh? No, there's something else I want to read here, and I marked it in my Bible, but now I can't see. Ah, I can see it. Great stuff. Now, Paul, in to the end of chapter 1, he's sort of speaking on his zeal for the church and so on. And in verse 14, he says this, that he was being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So he, before he met Christ, was passionate about the traditions of his fathers. And then I think in verse 13 he says, he pursued the church of God. In the name of religion, he was sincere in his pursuit of the church. He wanted to destroy this church of Jesus, but he was sincerely wrong. Why? Because he defaulted to the other gospel, to the traditions of man and the opinions of man, and therefore he pursued things that was not meant for God to do. No wonder God did this amazing intervention in his life. Now in chapter 2, he defends the gospel and he speaks about his journey and how he went and he was trained and so on, and how the Holy Spirit ministered to him. And then in verse 16 he says this, he says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. who we also have believed in Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And he's saying, listen, can we get away from works? Can we get away from the law? Can we get away from everything that you think you should do? And can we get back to faith? You are saved by faith. You are justified by faith, not the law. You know, saints, in your walk with Christ in this church, it's not about the stuff that we do, not the encounters. That is merely to help you grow spiritually. You are not saved through them. You are not saved by any program that any church puts on. You are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And may we never forget it. That is the basis of our salvation. That's the only reason that we are saved. And can we stick to the true gospel here and not miss what God is saying to us at this time? Not all the nice teachings and the stuff that we receive, although they are great, but can we stick to the one thing, that you are saved? And the works of the law will do nothing in your life. In verse 20 of chapter 2, he says this profound thing that you all know. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, so he's still in the flesh. He has to live this life. You have to live this life in the flesh. You need this kariki to drive around on this earth. Otherwise, we're going to freak out some people, man. If you pitch without this body, Houston, we have a problem. Okay? So people like this thing that they see because they can identify it. So you need to live this life in the flesh. Okay? I live by faith in the Son of God. Love that. His faith is not in any of even his own writings. His faith is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Powerful declaration that he makes there. And I know we've quoted that thing so many times. But do we believe it? Do we walk in it? And then verse 3, he goes like, oh foolish Galatians. Now I'm like, shishy bro. He's very straight with these guys. Oh, this is where he says, who has bewitched you? This is the one. Yes, he says, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? He said, can I just ask you this one question? How did you receive the Spirit? Was it by the works of the law? Did you receive it by keeping all the laws that Moses wrote down? Doing all the stuff that is written in the Deuteronomy and all those rituals that you have to do, was that how you received it? No. By hearing with faith. Saints, if there's one way that this world will change radically, it will be by the proclaiming of what Jesus has done by faith. It's when they have faith, when that hearing comes, where lives are transformed because we are preaching with faith. Ja, maar Kobus, that's not who I am. Twak! Are you a son and a daughter of God? Thank you. Then you are called to preach the gospel. You are part of those that he said, now go and preach, right? It wasn't just the disciples. He's like, excuse me. So did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Says this journey is not in the flesh. This journey to perfection is not by doing what I do. It's in faith. I'll read it again. Are you so foolish? Have you become by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abram believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. Saints, we got nothing to add in our flesh. Yet I need to take this flesh to some places for God to use it, to sovereignly act out his will on my life in this world, to take your seemingly insignificant life and do powerful stuff with it in this world. But it's not through the works of the law. It's by the Spirit and it's by faith. You know, when we proclaim the word, when we speak to people, when we declare the word of God, we need to do it in such a way that those people will receive faith. Yes, are they anti the gospel? Yes. Amazing time to preach the gospel. I want to declare to you, I think at this time, the world is more open to the gospel than ever before. Corona did us huge favors where that's concerned, because people are asking questions. Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God." Not someone next to you say you are a son of God or daughter. Nah? Through what? Through the works of the law? No, through faith. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So whoever's not baptized here yet, let's get you baptized. And then he goes on and says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ." Isn't that beautiful? "And if you are in Christ, then you are Abram's offspring, heirs according to the promise." There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We are one in Christ. This is what Jesus prayed for in John, when he said, "Father, let them be one as you and I are one." Can they just be one? Can we not see color or gender or anything or race? Can we just be one in Christ? In faith. You see, when we preach the gospel, I'm not pursuing my traditions or my heritage or my anything. I am part of the blessing of the kingdom of God. It's not my kingdom. It's not my race. I'm part of a new race, a kingdom race. And it's a race of faith under Christ, where we are one, where we all have value, where we all have a call, where God wants to move through each one of us in powerful ways. You see, the moment we bring race and traditions and stuff into the gospel, we mess it up. Does God want to redeem, thank you, our race and our culture and everything? Absolutely. Does he use you as your particular race and culture? Absolutely. But is that the crux of it? No. It's about the kingdom. You see, like I said last week, this gospel, this Bible, is about his glory, his power, his majesty. And everything I do to bring glory and honor to him, then I'm in the right path. But when I'm trying to please man through my actions, then I'm no longer a servant of him. Because I cannot please man and their opinions and their stuff, whether it's gender, whether it's race or whatever, and be a bondservant of Christ. No, no, no. I'm called to love Jesus. He paid for me, not my tradition, not my heritage. He paid for me with his blood. And I'm an heir of that promise. I'm an heir of that promise. That is what I will inherit, is everlasting life in Christ. You see, but we get so caught up in a humanism of our humanism that we divert to the other gospel. And we get sidetracked from what God wants to do in this day and age. I'm proud to be alive now. I don't necessarily like it currently. But I'm so proud of being alive now. I'm so glad God chose me to be alive now. I'm going, Jesus, what do you want to do through this life? Blow my fuses with what you want to do with this life, please. Just go for it. And if I die, it's gain. And that's scary to say. And I don't say that lightly because you mean it. Ek like my vrou. Ek wil nie, ek wil bly. Ek like julle. So ek is fine om te bly. All right? So don't want to die. In the due season, sal ek die lepel in die dak steek en hy check. All right, Galatians 5. I'm almost done. Says this, Christ, this is the God's Word Bible, by the way. It's a bit of a different translation. He says, Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Not someone and say, yeah, we're being made free to be free. Just by the way, you are actually free. Huh? You can enjoy the benefits. You are not under bondage. Gorrelkie Piet. Listen to the next one. He says, therefore, because you have enjoyed the benefits of freedom, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. Amen. Do you get what Paul is saying to them? Excuse me, you are free. You've been set free. Hello, you are free. So don't become a... Who wants to be a slave if you can be free? I say, stupid. Why do you want to, you know, have someone give you instruction stuff and you actually don't want to do it? You are free. Are you free? So if I come into your house and I shunt you around because I'm the pastor, does that, do you have to do everything I say? Then you say, excuse me, pastor, I'm free. Such a profound, I'll read it again, it's just so awesome. It says, Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, be firm in that freedom. Firm.
Hy het 'n goeie stage gebou, prys die Here. If I suddenly became shorter, you would have known.
Okay? Be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. Saints, stop messing with the other gospel. Stop messing with the stuff that wants to put you in bondage and slavery. You have been set free in Christ. In verse 16, he says this, let me explain further. Love, Paul. Live your lives as your spiritual nature directs. Hello? Is your spiritual nature your flesh?
No.
Well, if you were confused, then I just want to say no. You know, so many funny things going out there, you might have just thought, yeah, absolutely. No. You have a body, okay? That flesh thing is just flesh. It's going back to dust, by the way, when you check out. Preaching the true gospel this morning. All right? As your spiritual nature directs you, then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. It's as easy as that. Okay? What your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants, and what your spiritual nature wants is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. They are opposed to each other. They can't. Hulle kan nie saamstem nie. This is a baie slegte huwelik. You can't marry those two. All right? As a result, you don't always do what you intend to do. You see, it's because when I submit to my corrupt nature, when I submit to my flesh, that's when I actually do the stuff that I don't want to do. Stop messing with the corrupt nature. It's like
Keeping a dog that bites you continually. Jag die ding weg, man. Bel die SPCA, sê kom. Oeh, al die dierenliefhebbers gaan my nou pak slaag gee. Ek loop nou op dun ijs hier so. Oeh, jette. But you see, it's when we entertain the corrupt nature, when we entertain the former gospel, when we entertain the things of our old flesh, and we allow the enemy to seduce us and tempt us and do these things, that we submit to it, and then we don't do what we want to do, which is follow Christ. You see, unless I show a bit of teeth to the enemy and say, excuse me, that's not me no more. You want that person to go look at the foot of the cross? He died. I will actually submit under my flesh every time. You know, I've every time where you face a temptation, and I know none of you have this, but when I face a temptation, there's a moment where I know that I'm now going to make a decision. Nah? Then I'm going, actually, I know what I should do. My ear likes to like. And this is very nice. Ach, it is just a moment, you know. It's just like, you know what gets me every time you submit under that? Is the guilt and the judgment that the enemy, I mean, initially it's like, oh, Mabiki, come a bit, you know, this is going to be lovely, lovely. Ah! And then it's all over you, and it's like condemnation, you slech, hunt, and I don't know, whatever, you know. And then what happens? You cannot preach the gospel. Because then you walk in, and Jesus says to you, say to that person, I love them, and you go like, what? We act. I cannot do that. Lord, I'm a sinner, Lord. You saw me sin. How can you say this to me? And then the condemnation is there, and I cannot do what Christ is calling me to do. As long as we entertain this, we're going to be powerless, saints. The enemy is keeping us in bondage with rubbish, and we cannot do the will of God. And it's time that we wake up. Verse 8 says this of Galatians 6, if you plant in the soil of your corrupt nature, you will harvest destruction. But if you plant in the soil of your spiritual nature, you will harvest everlasting life. You better decide where you're planting stuff. We can't allow ourselves to get tired of living the right way. Maybe you're there. Well, you've reached the point where you're like, you see, this Christian walk is tough, huh? God is not answering my prayers, you know. Look at what's happening in the country. Now will all of your COVID extend. Oh, my hat. Jesus is not hearing us. You know, I don't know what this gospel thing is about. But we cannot allow ourselves to get tired of living our lives the right way. Anything that's worth anything is hard work. Have you noticed? Even in the flesh. You want a successful business, you have to work at it. When I had my business, you know, I woke up every morning and I said, Tarachi, Tarachu. And I hoped that I will make money. No, I didn't. I got up, switched my phone on and started slogging. Because having your own business is hard work. Fortunately, when Jesus is in it, stuff happens, miracles. Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I can testify for hours now, just seeing his hand on business. But it doesn't just happen overnight. And living the right way takes some effort. Certainly, each of us will receive everlasting life at the proper time. At the proper time. No dying in advance here, né? Pas op vir julle. If we don't give up. Ooh. No quitters allowed in the kingdom, just by the way. Whenever we have the opportunity, we have to do what is good for everyone, especially for the family of believers. So, you know that person that's sitting there next to you?
They are worth doing the good for, and not just the ones that you know in this church. Maybe you should do good to those that you actually don't know in the church and invite them over for a braai and kuier and tell them to bring nothing and just come eat. Do some good. Get to know them. Saints, we cannot get tired of doing this life with Jesus. We cannot digress and follow the plans of Satan for our lives. We need to understand where he's coming in, from which side he's coming in. We need to rebuke it. And you know, if it's your own laziness, I want to say deal with it. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. No? One of them is self-control. So if you don't have self-control, get more of the Spirit in your life. Because that's the fruit of his presence in your life. Which means that I will not be, what's the opposite of self-control? A gemors. What? Out of control. I will not be out of control, I say. You see, saints, we need to keep on pressing on. We need to move forward in a forceful, steady way. We cannot back to. We need to be determined in following Christ. Can I just tell you, I think if I read the Bible right, things are going to get worse. If I look at Revelation, then it's like, well, yet, we are in the season where God is calling us to be light, the light of the world, where he has placed his light, his fire, his anointing in you, in you, in you. Not just in me, in you. So that you can bear the fruit of the kingdom, so that people can be saved. You know, we should have people that you're bringing here in their hordes because you shared the gospel. Nee, Kobus, that is Benny. Psh. I'm saying to you, and I believe by the Spirit of the Lord, ready yourselves. Your comfort zones are going to get challenged in the days to follow. God is moving and you're going to have a choice to either go with him or stay where you are. Stop turning to the other gospel. Identify where the influence is coming from Satan, and reject those things in your life. You know, now let me leave that. Christ has called you and me for the gospel. And I need to understand my calling. Like Paul, when someone says to me, who are you? I can say, I'm Quibus, I'm a pastor, not by men, not from man, but by Jesus Christ. I do not stand here because I was appointed by man, but because God chose me. And I can give you lots of reasons why I think he should have chosen the other guy. The same goes for you. Your life, your precious, valuable life, he has chosen for a time such as this to do amazing things for the kingdom. The only way to live is to live in that freedom that he's given you. Now, like Paul says, that freedom that Christ has given us doesn't mean that I can now do whatever I want. I'm still fully, completely submitted to Christ because my life belongs to him. Saints, do you believe God wants to do amazing things in this time? Well, you are the vessels he's going to do it through. We're looking for a new venue to create room. But they're not just going to pitch because we've got a bigger venue. The harvesters needs to go into the field and bring the harvest in. And you are those people. I want to tell you today, it's you. With your whole package of who you are, all your excuses and everything, some of you are hiding talents and abilities here that we don't even know about. And God is saying, listen, I want to use you. Ek wil bestuur vir Benny. We're going to pray and fast. And I believe we're going to see God move in our midst in a big way. You know, I'm tired of not having the fullness of what God wants to do. I want to really have the fullness of God in my life, but in your lives too. I want to see Him move in ways that freak us out in a good way. Where the worst sinner comes to Christ. Where a sick person is healed. Where the lame person gets out of his, I almost say trolley, wheelchair. Where the dead are raised through you. Maybe we should start with visiting the morgues and we go practice. Sandra, you can organize that, right? We want to see a morgue. Yeah? I want to see the medical students before they practice that person say, live in Jesus' name, and that guy gets up. Can you imagine the revival in the medical community? Can we stop thinking small? Why is that not? Why shouldn't that happen? I know I'm aiming for the stars, but my God made the stars, so what the heck? Let's just do that. Saints, God is about to do great things in our time. I know it's looking bleak. And I know, you know, if you read the papers and the news and stuff, it really doesn't look good. It's amazing. It's such a cool time to be alive. See, our God can do great things. Let's pray. So, while you have your eyes closed and you're sitting there before God this morning, I just want you to do a bit of introspection right now. You see, because a sermon is just a sermon. It's just a whole bunch of words. Unless you take it and you make it applicable to your life, and preferably, it must do some form of change. And I just want you to be honest with yourself, where you have allowed the devil to come in with other gospel in your life. Where he's come to sow seeds of doubt over who God is and his ability to move in your life. Where he's preached to you another gospel, a gospel that cannot save you. You know, for some of you this might be major, but for some of you it's just a little thing. But it's sometimes the small things that derails huge trains. Sometimes it's a small thing that makes an aeroplane crash. So just say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Where have I believed another gospel? What lie have I believed? I just repent of that. You know, even if it's just your own identity, you know, where the devil is lying to you about who you are. Maybe even telling you that you are in bondage. And because you are in bondage, you cannot do his will. Just renounce that stuff. Because you have been set free. Because the blood of Jesus has washed you and has made you whiter than snow. Because the Spirit of God lives in you and is more powerful than any other spirit. Let him deliver you right now from every lie that you are believing. And now receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you are an heir of Jesus, an heir of God. That everlasting life is your portion. That the Spirit without measure can dwell in you. That you are a vessel worthy of his glory and his honor. That's who you are. You have been forgiven. You have been sanctified. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus. receive that today. And now allow your heart to just go. Allow your heart to just believe in what God wants to do in your life. Receive the fullness and abundance of the plans that God has got in store for you. Your life is not insignificant. In God's hands, you are a powerful man and woman of God. You have been anointed to preach the gospel. You are a laborer in His vineyard. Through Him, you will bring in the harvest. And today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to commission you and say, go and preach the gospel. Go. Share the life that you have received. Throw off the yoke of slavery. Receive the yoke or the mantle of sonship over your life, because you are a son and a daughter of God this morning. That's who you are. So Father, I come before you this morning, and I bring each one of us before you, Lord, even in our brokenness. Lord, you know how messed up we are. But Lord, you still see amazing things in us. Thank you, Father, that you are able to use any vessel for your glory. And I pray, Father, that you will move over us and that we will be the vessels that you use at this time. Father, may we not shrink back. May we not submit to the works of the devil in our lives and in this world today. And Father, I commit every person to you here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And if I understand Scripture right, it says that they are the temples in which you dwell. Almighty, all-powerful Holy Spirit. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus.